There we go.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. I know, Lord, it's a bit wild and windy out there. I pray you, please, for folks' lives and for safety on the roads and around their homes. I pray you, Lord, that things would be secure and would not be turning into missiles just onto that land, Lord. I pray you, too, Father, for souls to be saved, for Will and Christine and Mary Ann and Rachel, for Davin, very especially in that situation and work. For Lynn and Dr. Shine, and for Frank, Lord, for all of our friends and brethren especially, please save souls, Lord, and please edify the saints. Pray that you bless this wee bit of time that we've set aside to worship and praise you, and we just pray, Lord, for your will to be done. Please be one of our number, and Lord, just guide us and direct us at this time. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. We got the CNI glasses on. That's much better. Right, let's take the wee book, the wee fat books, or the wee gravitationally challenged books. Big books, as we call them here. Let's see which one we're going to start with. Right, let's go to 222 in the books. 222 is one called Moment by Moment. 222 in the big book is Moment by Moment. We haven't sung this one for a while, but it's a good old thing.
Moment by moment.
Amen. Well, it's a fortnight, just over a fortnight, till the American elections, and it is just over 2 months till Christmas, so we've got to get practicing. We're switching over to the wee books. Number 79 is one called Good Christian Men Rejoice, but it means for good Christian women to rejoice as well. Number 79, if you're fit, folks, let's stand and love. We'll get a bit of Christmas practicing in. Amen. Churches in the day and for us today. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you, and all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Just a reminder, very quickly, about our prayer list. Davin is still on it, and we're still praying for him. There are a multitude of other things that have been mentioned there. I have a brother-in-law that has possible heart trouble coming his way. Please do pray for the Deer King family. That was a lady about a year ago, was it, that she took ill, and the treatment, unfortunately, was nearly worse than the disease, and she lost all of her limbs. But she got home, and she is adjusting, the whole family is adjusting to a new life. Please pray for Mark Donaghy. For a wee girl called Jen Asquith, who had some post-baby complications as is in for a fourth surgery. For a woman called Liz Stewart, that we met up in hospital whenever I was having a wee dander up. Norman's sister Edith, please pray for her heart troubles as well. And for Ling and Dr. Shang and Frank, as they travel to Tenerife, I hope not in the middle of a storm, but by the looks of things, they'll get a day of good weather. Please do remember those things. We're also very glad of being here and obviously not having anything too seriously wrong with me. I'm glad of that. And Ling never mentioned once her teeth, and she seemed to be fine with her teeth.
She had a crown put in on Friday.
Yes.
And she's re-swollen from that, but it's much better.
Anyway, so those are all our prayer lists and prayer requests. We'll have a quick prayer and then we'll sing another song. Amen. Heavenly Father, do indeed thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you, Lord, for bringing prophecy to come to pass in front of us. It always looked so glorious and noble whenever it was written in the Bible and eloquently spoken of, Lord. It's a whole different story whenever it's happening right in their faces, right in their backyards, Lord. I pray you for wisdom and strength of character and purpose, Lord, as we go on in these last of the last days. I pray very especially for those, Lord, especially at Fella Davin, William's brother-in-law, and the situation that he has in work. I pray you please, Lord, that you would give everyone the wisdom that is needed to outmaneuver that troublemaker, Lord, at every turn, and relieve the men and women of the issues that have been brought to their doors, Lord. Please be with our brethren across the world, Lord, that are gathering together and maybe even just finishing a service. And please, Lord, inspire and strengthen and comfort and, Lord, chasten even if we need a slowing down, Lord. But we pray, Lord, for your will to be done and souls to be saved. Thank you, Lord, for your many helps and blessings. And we ask all of these things, Lord, and for our private prayer requests in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. 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 Right. We are in the week of the big hymn book again. And if you would like to take and turn to number 34. Number 34 in this, if your foot will stand as we sing, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. Genesis chapter 37. One thing I noticed over the years that in many parts of the Bible, I don't know if you've ever been reading the Bible and you come across a verse and you think, that's a powerful verse, I'll have to remember that. And you highlight it in the book and you maybe write it out a few times or say it over in your head a few times and it finds a wee spot there. But I also noticed that there's quite a few places where there's no verses highlighted because they read like an adventure book. And I think I have one verse highlighted in about 10 chapters there in Genesis. And Joseph and the life of it is one of those books. Genesis chapter 37, And we're going to read it all, so bear with me as we have a wee look at the first years of, well, the formative years, if that's even right, years of Joseph's life. The word of God says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph," that's Jacob loved Joseph, "more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colours. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me," in other words, worshipped me. "And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben, one of his brothers, heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him again to his father, or to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colours that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph unto Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit. Behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's guard and the captain of the guard. Amen. The lifetimes and lessons of Joseph. And we'll have a quick prayer and then we'll continue on. If you lead us in a wee word of prayer, William, if you would.
Lord, thank you for keeping us from the storm, Lord, and allowing us to be in your house, Lord. Please, in these dark times, keep your hand upon us, Lord, keep us safe, Lord. Our baffled, confused, and our enemies. Lord, and Lord, have mercy upon us. And Lord, please right our country. I thank you for the kindness and mercy you've shown me and my friends and family and the people of this church, Lord. And please strengthen the outreach and the ministry of Pastor Buffett, Lord. Put your hand upon them and strengthen them, Lord. And these things we ask you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, William. Amen. Just a few things, as many public speakers have said, I won't keep you very long, but there are different levels of lessons to be learned on that we can apply to our lives, but we can also take to see how the Lord was speaking to the children of Israel, even back the formation of the children of Israel, so that they would know, or should I say, so that the observant among the children of Israel would know Christ whenever he came, would see the story of Christ in the life of Joseph. Now, Joseph was the favorite son. Jacob was, it was said of him that he loved him most because he was the child of his own age, but he had one little brother, Benjamin, who was even younger, but Joseph was the favorite son. And one of the worst things in the world you can do with your children is show favourites. But Jacob made him a coat of many colours, signifying that Joseph was the favourite son. And he annoyed the rest of the brethren, the rest of his brothers. However, Joseph was chosen by God to deliver all the children of Israel, and he used to dream dreams. God was working on him through dreams, working on him through the dreams about the sheaves and about how all his brothers' sheaves would bow down to him. And of course, the dream of the sun, the moon, and the eleven stars, bowing down to him as well. And if you could ever imagine having a wee brother coming up to you and telling you, as a big brother, as a stronger brother, that someday you were going to be getting down on your hands and knees and begging and pleading with him, you can understand how his other big brothers felt about everything. So this one instance that this changed the whole direction of his life, his father sent him to check up on his brethren. And I do believe that Joseph didn't stick the knife in them, that he brought back, the Bible says, an evil report. He probably brought back a very accurate report. Maybe they were drinking, maybe they were carrying on, give you an idea of the way they behaved. One of his brethren committed adultery with one of his father's wives. I think it was Bilhah, and Judah, he went and and visited with a prostitute. So you're not exactly dealing with the finest upstanding members of society. Rough characters. It was a different world. But anyway, sent him to check up on his brethren again, and when they saw him coming, they said, let's just kill him, and we'll see what happens to those dreams that he was so keen to tell us about. Fortunately, one of the brothers said, just throw him in the pit, and we'll think about what to do. But when he's away doing something, they sell him as a slave. And he comes back, because he had all plans to get Joseph back to Jacob and make sure he was safe. But just didn't happen. The other brothers, they were determined to visit some harm upon him. So they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites sold him to Potiphar. And one of the things, this very portion of Scripture, you need to realize is that there are consequences for your actions. And many moons ago, this man Jacob, whose favorite son he had sent out to find out how his brothers were doing, he had, with a slain goat and the skin of a goat, he had deceived his own father out of his brother's blessing. So here we have, a generation later, his own sons deceiving him with a slain goat again. It really broke the old man's heart. However, it was about 10 or 11 years later before he met his son again. But always be careful. Joseph was sold to a fellow called Potiphar. And one of the things you never hear Joseph saying is, woe is me. We never hear about his complaints. I am sure as God gave him the dreams, he often thought about it as a slave in Potiphar's house. Well, Lord, they said, my brothers and my father and all are going to bow down to me. I don't see how it's going to happen. Here I am in a foreign land. How is it ever going to happen? He may have thought that, or maybe he just knuckled too. And he prayed. He said, Lord, I have no idea what's going on, but I know you do, and I am going to keep serving you. I am going to be a Christian in this pagan household. And God so blessed him that God raised him up to the second command of the household. Unfortunately, in the world, even as you and I follow God and obey God, there's going to be speed bumps, and there's going to be potholes in the road. And like many people, even today, Potiphar's wife has too much time in her hands and not enough going on in her head, and she tries to commit adultery with Joseph. And Joseph says, look, Mrs. Potiphar, you are the only thing in the whole house that I dare not put my hands on. Your husband has given me charge over everything. I can't do this. This is a wicked thing. Which leads us to believe, obviously, that she had been having her way with the other men's servants, and they stayed well away from her. So we all know the story about how she grabs Joseph's coat and he runs for it, and then she claims that she grabbed it and cried out as he attacked her. And of course, Potiphar believes his wife, and Joseph gets fired into jail. And I am sure Joseph thought, well, I wasn't doing too badly then. I was working my way up through the household. I was making headway. I was the most trusted man in this man's household. And here I am in jail. I'm in jail. But there was no complaint. And the word of God says that God blessed Joseph, even in the jail. And before you know it, the next verse says, I'm sure it took a little bit of time, but a good spirit was found in Joseph, just like it was in Daniel whenever he was in the land of Babylon, and he was elevated to positions of great authority and great responsibility. Next thing you know, Joseph was running the jail. He is second in command to the guy that runs it. The guy that runs it, he didn't know what was going on, except that everything was running smoothly and Joseph was in charge. This goes on for a while. The Bible doesn't say how long, but it's obviously a little while that Joseph has been away from home, a few years maybe. All of a sudden, there's two new inmates at the jail. One is Pharaoh's butler, and the other one is Pharaoh's baker. I've heard a little bit of studying on this, and a few thoughts. I believe there was maybe an attempt made on Pharaoh's life. Maybe someone tried to poison him, I don't know. But these two guys who were in important positions in Pharaoh's household were both thrown into jail, I am sure, until inquiries were made. There's a lot to be said for guilty until proven innocent. Unless, of course, it's you that's been charged with being guilty until proven innocent. But they had a dream, and Joseph was a dreamer. And the butler dreamed that he picked these bunches of grapes and squeezed them into the cup. And Joseph told him, that means you're three bunches of grapes. After 3 days, you'll be restored to your position in Pharaoh's household. And the baker thought, well, oh great, I had a dream as well. And there were all these loaves. And the birds came down and ate them. And Joseph said, sorry to tell you, but you're for execution after 3 days. And the birds will eat your eyes, or words to that effect. And that's exactly what happened. And Joseph said to the butler, whenever you go to Pharaoh's household, when you're restored, don't forget me. I don't know about you, but your perspectives change depending upon your circumstances. I remember before I went to the hospital about 5 years ago, I had hardly a care in the world. My biggest care was making sure everybody got to church and that I got the sermon ready and the grass was cut and petrol was in the cars and that the world revolved around my wife and she got whatever she wanted. I'm glad to see she's paying attention. I didn't do that. That would just be a disaster. Make sure your world revolves around the Lord. But you see, whenever I ended up in hospital very, very sick, the only thing that I cared about was that I was right with God. The perspectives changed. So this man in jail, what am I going to do? Has his life restored, forgets about the crim. You know Joseph the crim, who's in jail, forgets about him for 2 years until he hears that Pharaoh has had a couple of dreams. And Pharaoh dreamt about the seven fat cattle or kine and the seven thin cattle or kine. And he says the seven thin ones ate the seven fat ones and they weren't made any better. And he was scratching his chin. And he said to the wise man, what's going on? And then he said, I've got another one as well. He says there were seven fat ears of corn and there were seven really dried up and withered ears of corn, and the seven dried up ears of corn consumed the seven fat ears and they were made no better. And so Pharaoh was checking with the wise men, tell me the name of this. And all of a sudden it came back. I remember. He says, it was 2 years ago and I forgot all about it. There's a fella down in the prison cell. He can discern dreams. And so they got Joseph out of prison. He got a shave and a shower and a shampoo. And he got his freshly picked, he got his Sunday best on for his meeting with the king. And the king said, I've heard that you can tell dreams. And Joseph said, nope. But God can, and he tells me. And so he told Pharaoh, it's the same thing. God has sent it to you twice because this is definitely going to happen. And he says there's going to be 7 years of plenty. And then there's going to be 7 years of famine so severe that it will consume all of the food in the land. And my advice to you, Pharaoh, is find someone that can organize the whole country so that and gather a fifth part of all of the crop in whenever there's plenty and put it in barns so that whenever the 7 years of want come, there will be food in the land. The Pharaoh looks around, all of his wise men, all of his advisors. He says, there's only one man here who can tell me what was going to happen, and that was Joseph. And he took his ring off and he gave him the ring. And he rode in the second chariot, and he was the man running the whole of Egypt. And whenever the food came in, there was huge amounts of food. And Pharaoh took the fifth of it and put it in his barns for 7 years. Pharaoh gave Joseph a wife. I think it was the daughter or sister of Potipharah, which was interesting, which leads me to think Potiphar might be a title rather than a name. And he had a couple of kids, Ephraim and Manasseh, who we find out through the rest of the history of the children of Israel are named as tribes in Israel. And this is what he does. He works and he works and he works. So that's 2 years between him telling the butler that he was going to get out, 7 more years gathering all the food in the land, plus the years before that that he worked as a slave or as a servant in Potiphar's house and spent the time in jail, 10, 15 years, who knows? All of a sudden, his brethren turn up. And they are begging and pleading for food. And of course, he stitches them up and he hides his goblet in. He gets his younger brother to stay with him and he manages to force them to bring his dad up. And they all worship and praise him, not knowing who he is at one point. And the dreams come to pass. And for those 7 years, he brings all of his people into the land of Egypt. And they have a wee place for them where they keep their cattle. Can't remember the name of it just off the top of my head. But the cattle are all there, along with the children of Israel. And they're looked after. Now, Jacob dies, and his brothers start to get very worried because they think that now the old fellow's gone, that Joseph is going to kill them for what they did to him all those years ago. And if it's any help to you, the measure of God's hand on anybody can help that person to forgive. And Joseph forgave them. And he said, I know that you didn't like me. I know that I irked the life out of you. And I know you meant that for badness whenever you sold me as a servant, out of your way, hopefully never to be seen again. But God meant it for good. God used me to save the children of Israel. And so we all know then, as we read on till the end of Genesis and the start of Exodus, that for nearly 400 years the children of Israel lived in the land. And Egypt flourished and prospered. Pharaoh literally owned everyone and everything in Egypt because the people sold everything just to eat. He was the most powerful man in the world. And Egypt was a force to be reckoned with until what? Until they started to stick the knife into the children of Israel. They started to treat the children of Israel as worse than slaves, as beasts of burden to build their treasure cities. They made them work with rigor, I think the Bible says. It actually made them one of the hardiest peoples on the face of the earth. And then when they did that, the Lord took and destroyed them. He defeated all of their gods in their sight. He broke their staff of their bread, their means of producing food. He destroyed all of that. He destroyed all of their cattle. He destroyed their firstborn. He even destroyed their army whenever they came after the children of Israel and drowned them all in the Red Sea. And he destroyed their wealth because the children of Israel left the land with gold and silver and precious stones because everyone was mourning the death of their firstborn. So straight away there is a lesson. You don't mess with God's people because God will destroy you. We see it happening a lot in the news right now. Nothing but making good on an old promise from Genesis 12 where the Lord said, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And yes, Don't forget, keep praying not just for Israel as a whole, but for the IDF soldiers and all those that are supporting them. But also do pray for those that are opposing them to be opposed at every turn themselves. I know it's difficult in this life when there's so much going on and people are behaving so stupidly that you would love to take and fire them through a window and hope the impact of their head on the glass as they go through the window and the ground on the other side would knock some sense into them. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. You just get people annoyed and then you go to jail. People are not going to love you because you walk and talk with God, unless those people are also walking and talking with God. Everyone's different. God has a spot for everyone. And if you're doing what God asked you to do, remember what the Lord said to Peter? When Peter said, "What's he for doing, Lord?" And Jesus said, "Don't you be worried about what he's for doing. You just do what I asked you to do." If you can help a brother or sister along the way, help a brother or sister along the way. And be glad for them as they go. Because God has prepared them to do what they have to do, but he has also prepared you to do what you have to do. Not everyone is going to be happy about it. Even some Christians are not going to be happy when your life starts to show God working in it. Another thing. When the Lord sets you on a course, it might not be finished tomorrow. Might not even be finished next week or next month. Or next year. It could be a decade down the line. Was it Hudson Taylor or one of the missionaries? Was it went to China? It was a decade or more before he even had his first convert. But he persevered. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and in due time you shall reap if you faint not, the Bible says. Be faithful. The world, the flesh, and the devil is not going to be happy with us whenever we serve the Lord. And one way or another, with temptation, appealing to the lusts of the flesh, whether it is immorality or whatever else, we'll try and throw a stick in your spokes. That would have been a very short story. If Joseph had given in to Potiphar's wife, he would have been executed. And I don't know what would have happened. It didn't happen because Joseph kept his eyes on the Lord and he honored his boss. And he did what he had to do. And we need to do that too. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Even when the world, the flesh, and the devil tries to slow us down. And they will. With their plans, with their temptations, keep your eyes on the Lord and keep going. My advice to you is to learn a Bible verse that really speaks to you and have that in your mind. Like the ones we were reading in Philippians 4. One of my favorites is the one after that says, "The peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus." It's, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, or of good report, if there's any virtue in them, if there's any praise in them, think on these things." Anyway, so that you can chew over that and your mind can squeeze a little bit of gospel goodness out there and strengthen you as the world keeps coming at it. Sometimes it's not just a wee drip that lands on you. Sometimes it feels like a fire hose landing on you. But keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep yourself humble. Because there's times that you're going to be wondering what in the world is going on. And you keep your eyes on the Lord and you're serving him. And you might have to be a servant for a while before he lifts you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and in due time he shall lift you up. On top of all of those, there is the example of Christ that Joseph was. Hated by his brethren, bloodshed, cast down, made a prisoner, and then lifted up to the right hand of God, tempted, just like the Lord was tempted in the wilderness, kept his eye on the prize, but lifted up to the right hand of our Father in heaven after he provided a great salvation for his people. The picture of the work of Christ is in the life of Joseph. And it's worth thinking about. No matter where he was, and it's interesting to note, the Lord always had the right things to say. Joseph did too. There's a lot of lessons, but most of all, regardless of your situation, and I know there are situations, listen to what God says. Read your Bible, pay attention as you do, so that the Holy Spirit can remind you of the right thing to say and do in any given situation. And when you do things God's way, God promises that everything will work out for the best. Romans 8:28. We know that everything, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. That's the promise of God. So let's keep our eyes on it, even when the rest of the world's going crazy. Someday he's coming back for us. And every single person who turned their nose up at Jesus is going to be in for a rude awakening. And that is why we go out and keep telling them about the free gift of everlasting life. Folks, gentlemen and ladies, thank you very much for your time. We'll sing a closing song. Does anybody have one that they'd like to finish with this evening?
The Old Rugged Cross.
Sounds good to me. The Old Rugged Cross, I believe that's in the big book. Hopefully the number will do, but we'll get that in 2 ticks. Hymn number 27. Number 27 in the big book. If you're fit, folks, stand and sing with me. If you're not, remain seated. But let's make a joyful noise for this final hymn of the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. you very much for your good time and attention this evening. And the service went a little. Well, it didn't actually go any longer than expected. We didn't start till a quarter past. So I was thinking, man, the service is going on. I'll have to wind up here quickly. Have a good week. Don't forget to be much in prayer. There's a lot going on. There's always something to go to the Lord about and just bring before Him and call out somebody's name. You'll know. But safe travels. Mind yourself in that weather, especially on that road in those high winds. We were driving along there. Was it this time last year, the year before? There was a tree down across the road. Take your time going out that back road in the high winds. Let's pray in our obedience. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the time that we've had in your house today. I pray you, Lord, that you would take all of the lessons and the hymns and the Bible readings, Lord, the thoughts that you've put in our heads, and that we would learn from them, and that we would be better Christians as a result of being faithful to you, Lord, and turning up at your house. We thank you for your presence, and Lord, we thank you for your many helps and blessings. And pray that you would see us safely here. Please be with our families at this time, sir, and guide our steps and go before us in our battles and in our ways, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We love you. And we appreciate what you've done for us, but not half, not even the smallest portion that we understand you have done for us, Lord, and thank you for that. And we ask all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your law. Amen. Amen, gents and ladies. We are dismissed. God bless you.